Welcome back on this Tuesday, the 19th day of March, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And as the intro might suggest, we're going to begin today with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And actually, because the transition is kind of, interesting, I'm going to leave it to the listener to try to figure out where it is. Let's start with this story, though. And unless otherwise noted, several of these are from the naturalnews.com site of Mike Adams and Company. The first one says, and this is clearly the good news, Panama has banned Doctors Without Morals, or Doctors Without Borders, as it's sometimes called, after discovering, who could have thought it, major corruption at NGO tents in various migrant camps. In other words, staging stations for the invasion of the United States. Panama's Had Enough begins a piece by Ethan Huff of Doctors Without Borders, an NGO or non-governmental organization, which means public-private partner of the fascist group, folks, which is reportedly engaged in shady behavior. Say it isn't so, south of the border, after discovering both corruption and a lack of staffing at Doctors Without Borders at their tents in so-called migrant camps, a team from Operation Burning Edge has provided Panamanian officials with all the evidence they needed to kick that NGO out of the country, tweeted Ann Vandersteel, information war correspondent at Operation Burning Edge, and somebody that your host has come to respect. The takedown of this corrupt NGO means one NGO down and 63 to go. This bold move, she said, should be heralded as just due to the serious concern the Panamanians have with respect to the illegal invasion, money laundering, and corruption that comes with these UN-funded NGOs. Noting that Doctors Without Morals, of course, really means, Doctors Without Borders. But regardless, you get the point. The UN front group had this to say, MSF, they call it Medecins Sans Frontières, another name that doesn't lend itself quite as readily to being turned into what it really is. They say, provides medical and psychological health care to an average of 5,000 people per month at the San Vicente and Lajas Blancas migrant welcoming centers in southern Panama. And they assist all kinds of people at all kinds of different points along the migration route. Now, the invasion route is a better way to put it, between South America, Central America, Mexico, and the formerly free United States. And they said, we provide free and confidential support to people on the move, unquote. And if we ever wake up, folks, that will eventually come to an end. Otherwise, the United States will. More good news next, but again, the fact that it's even necessary certainly isn't. The chairman of the House Administration Oversight Subcommittee, Representative Barry Loudermilk of Georgia, has announced that he might, would be better news if he would, make referrals for criminal obstruction or House Ethics Committee violations, hopefully both, related to the January 6th so-called Select Committee, and expressed his frustration over the fact that much of the evidence, that the committee gathered for their so-called inquiry, including videotapes and transcripts of crucial interviews, has been, who could have thought it, suppressed. Some documents and interviews have been moved to other federal agencies where they've been deep six for the most part, while others have been outright deleted or destroyed. In addition, some of the evidence has been conveniently locked behind passwords that are not, of course, being provided to the Oversight Subcommittee for its investigation. And on a recent interview on the Just the News, No Noise show, Loudermilk said he believes that those who acted wrongly and in bad faith, too, as well as in violation of their oaths, folks, on that January 6th committee should be held accountable. And that, he admitted, is going to be a little ways down the road because there's a lot more information they have to get, and obviously they're not going to be forthcoming on that score. And he said we need to build not only this to get the truth out to the American people, but to see just how big this case potentially is for obstruction. And, of course, when we realize that the whole thing was a setup, it's a lot bigger still. Another little bit of good news next. We've actually heard it before. So the good news is that, once again, it's getting at least a few headlines. Geological Record says the headline, courtesy of Lance D. Johnson, show a correlation between falling carbon dioxide levels, things, in other words, that Big Brother and his public-private partner, so-called science minions, are pushing for, and, you ready, mass extinction events, which, you know, they're also pushing for. But at least this time, people may start to figure it out. The Geological Timescale, or GTS, it begins, contains certain eras where carbon dioxide, or CO2 levels, were historically high due to thriving plant life. And they also show periods where CO2 levels were catastrophically low. Those correlate with mass extinction events and the inability of certain species, like maybe mankind, well, certainly others in the past, to adapt. The climate and botanical history of these eras and the volcanic and seismic events that occurred over these same time periods indicate the all-important influence of atmospheric carbon dioxide levels over life on Earth. So the idea that you're breathing out is harmful to the planet, folks, is an absolute, unmitigated, bald-faced, satanically evil lie. And I put that in there. But, says this story, this history of the CO2 cycle and its natural sequestration has implications, to put it mildly, for the survival of entire species. Put into the current vernacular, the goal of net zero that the globalists are pushing to sequester carbon into the ground and reduce it to essentially zero is a path towards devastation and the destruction of multiple species, not just mankind, but that's certainly the big one over time. On the bad news front, a couple of stories related to Gulag's own version of the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator movies. Part A, Apple, one of the world's two premier evil phone companies, is in talks with Gulag, a.k.a. Google, the other one, to use its Gemini AI to power their iPhone. Or put bluntly, to give that Terminator even more direct access than the movies showed. But wait, there's more. Big tech giant and search giant Gulag, that's the proper pronunciation, folks, has confirmed that they're going to begin rolling out restrictions on its AI-powered chatbot Gemini, specifically to limit providing answers about election-related queries on a global basis. This update to Gemini, it says, is already live in the United States, and Gulag has begun rolling it out in India and other major countries all over the world where elections are set to take place, maybe at least, in coming months. And this shift, says Natural News, highlights not only the role that generative AI has been playing, but also has the potential to play in the election process. And it shows Gulag's concern about how that service, listen to this and weep, might get weaponized, as well as produce inaccurate or misleading responses. The point here, folks, is that they want to weaponize it, all right. They just want to make sure it doesn't even tell you what it's up to. Does that sound a little bit familiar? Queries regarding political parties, candidates, or politicians now return a preset canned message. When a query about a particular political party or candidate is asked, Gemini shows this message. I'm still learning how to answer this question. In the meantime, try Gulag search. And he didn't spell it right, but hey, that's AI for you. Unquote. In some cases, the tool can still be gamed, they note. In its own analysis, TechCrunch found that the AI tool can be compelled to show answers when passing on queries relating to elections if they have typos. Don't worry, Gulag will no doubt fix that so that in every respect, the Terminator that is planned for your future won't tip you off on what it's being engineered to do. Said TechCrunch policy-focused writer Jagmeet Singh, quote, it's likely that the responses from the AI will continue to be tweaked in a game of prompt engineering whack-a-mole, unquote. So are we up to the ugly part yet? Well, here's one more. In a few short weeks, says this piece from Ethan Huff, it'll no longer be legal for people unfortunate enough to still be in Scotland to refer to males as men. Thanks to the passage of what is laughably called the Hate Crimes and Public Order Bill in Scotland. Said bill, they note, was passed 3 full years ago, but will only just now come into effect as of April Fool's Day 2024. And because of the bill's ridiculous implications, many are still wondering if it really is some kind of April Fool's joke. Still, the bill appears to have been passed, allegedly, because of a crime committed by Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, who was reported to the police in England for calling a trans so-called woman broadcaster, India Willoughby, a biological male by, what he really is, a man. Well, some of us might say at least partly. Because Willoughby self-identifies as a trans woman, though, he demands, like many other LGBTQ++'s, that he, she be referred to with she pronouns, or maybe they pronouns, but after all, who really cares, says the author. Rowling, a notable public figure, refused to play ball, and here we are today, 3 years later, with the imminent execution of the Hate Crimes and Public Order Scotland Bill, which prohibits, at point of a gun, using the wrong gender pronouns in reference to people who have more rights than you do. Oh, by the way, if you're curious, but still actually know the difference between an innie and an outie, and you misgender someone in once free Scotland, 7 years in the re-education camp for you. So here we are. A pervert in Scotland can molest your daughter, but don't you dare call them the wrong pronoun or you go to the gulag. And if we weren't already up to the ugly, folks, we're certainly getting there. From now on, it says yet another story, a person can save 20% on any product at the once admirable American company called the North Face. So long as he, she, or they agree to complete, are you sitting down, an anti-white so-called equity course teaching that white people can never experience racism and that the outdoors is oppressive against black people. This racial equity course is the North Face's latest attempt to stay as woke as possible.
To infinity and beyond!
Pushing the notion that white people never experience any kind of hardship due to the color of their skin, like real people do. Any other color people do. Learning these and other beyond woke anti-racism talking points is now a requirement for those who want the North Face gear at a more affordable price. Everyone else will have to pay full price, says the piece, or they'll do what your host is going to do, folks, which is show these people the backside of your arse and never, ever darken the door of one of those stores again. To say they're drinking the Bud Light is almost an understatement nowadays. Said Heritage Foundation DEI expert Mike Gonzalez, quote, "It was the longest hour I've ever lived," he said, completing the course just to see how bad it was. According to Gonzalez, the class was, quote, "an outrageous attempt at convincing people that we live under an oppressive system of racial injustice and that only privilege can, quote, give us access to the outdoors." And in this particular context, he said, white privilege means that your race and skin color can give you access to the outdoors while others can be excluded because of historic enduring racism and biases, which he noted correctly is particularly insulting and offensive, especially in light of the fact that many of the world's most powerful people right now just happen to have dark skin, like Barack Hussein Obama, who was, or maybe still is, the most powerful man in the world, and then there's Kamala Harris, who may be a blithering idiot, but at least she's the right color. And if all of that isn't offensive enough, the North Face also requires those who would like the discount to make a bunch of privilege statements, evidently just to prove how woke you really are. Said Gonzalez about the insanity, it is a, quote, dehumanizing position. The fix, of course, exclude you white people from that and everything else, because obviously we just plain hate you and everything about you. But when it comes to ugly, maybe now we're there. Because the far-left globalist WEF endgame is now in full view in the nation of Haiti, where a real-life walking dead situation is unfolding in the capital, Port-au-Prince, where roving gangs are attacking police officers with machetes and eating people like cannibals. Says another story from Ethan Huff, a journalist on the ground in Port-au-Prince claims that the violent situation is worsening throughout the leftist hellhole city as gangs demand that Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry resign. And a state of emergency was declared after gangs attacked two prisons, setting many of the prisoners free. Hey, guess where they're going to end up? And as much as 80% of Haiti's capital city is now controlled by these gangs, say various reports, and they represent an unprecedented level of violence, said the journalist, reporting all of this to the Daily Star in the UK. Quote, "Haiti's living in a totally chaotic situation right now. It's total chaos everywhere, especially in the capital. Haiti has a leader, Prime Minister Ariel Henry, but he's not inside the country right now. Meanwhile, you've got gangs waging full attacks on key institutions," and he goes on to note that the roving gangs are attacking entire police stations in Port-au-Prince, trapping officers inside before murdering them with machetes. "For 3 hours, they were in there," he said, "crying for help. After that, we saw images of officers being cut by machetes shared on social media. The gangs are heavily armed with guns from the United States. Hey, folks, you might even say fast and furiously. But they're also equipped with high-level technology like drones. And it all begs the question, is the nation of Haiti being purposely destabilized by, the same woke gangs that run the United States?" Says the journalist reporting live, a known hotspot for human and child trafficking, Haiti's roving gangs are armed with weapons provided to them by the United States, suggesting that authorities, or at least what now passes for them in the once free United States, want this destabilization to occur, likely bringing about a coup. And guess where all of this leads? Quote, "They're in a fear campaign where they want to appear as murderous and as violent as possible. Cannibalism may not yet be widespread, but it is, quote, definitely an indication of a worsening situation, and it definitely happens on at least a few occasions." And finally, it isn't just Haiti in the Caribbean. A wave of anti-government protests, uprisings, and armed rebellions reminiscent of the Barack Obama-era Arab Spring in the Middle East more than a decade ago is now starting, or even maybe is being encouraged, to emerge across the entire Caribbean region, triggered by the ascent of the civil war in Haiti. This past weekend, says a piece from Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge, the latest uprising unfolded in Santiago, Cuba, about 800 kilometers or 500 miles from Havana. Hundreds of residents took to the streets, decrying the hours-long power blackouts and food shortages. Hey, guess what? Coming to a theater near you, too. And, according to Reuters, Cuba has now plunged into an unprecedented economic crisis, stoking a record-breaking exodus that has seen upwards of 400,000 people migrate into, guess where? If you said the once free but now Biden banana republic of the United States, give yourself a cookie. And you better hurry, because you might not be able to for much longer. Oh, and here's a story that, well, top secret and admittedly single source, courtesy of the Hal Turner Radio Show, may be the combination of all of the good, the bad, and the ugly put together. The puppet master for the Barack Obama regime, now in his third term, Barack Hussein Obama, has reportedly flown in absolute secrecy, the piece says, to the United Kingdom, and upon landing was whisked directly to No. 10 Downing Street to meet with the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Officials at No. 10 are flatly refusing to discuss why the Obama puppet meister is there or what he will even speak with Sunak about. It's all very hush-hush, and maybe, folks, it's all very consistent. Finally, a headline from the Daily Mail, saying, could America's squatting crisis be another thing that spills over into bloody violence? Cases surge by a third in the worst-hit cities, while homeowners turn to vigilantes to turf out the armed occupiers. This next item looks like a related story. It comes from Michael Snyder via the Economic Collapse blog, and it's about the next big thing, or maybe it's the current big thing already, and that seems to be his point. Squatters, he writes, are taking over homes all over the nation, literally on an industrial scale, and turning them into dens of crime. Yep, squatting's always been a problem, especially in certain particularly cesspool parts of the nation, but now it's happening at an industrial scale all over the country. Thanks to online listings, it's now easier than ever to identify properties that are vacant. And many states have laws, or what now passes for them, that make it exceedingly difficult to get squatters out once they manage to get in. In some cases, he says, squatters are able to live rent-free in beautiful homes, at least they were at one point, for months or even years, which is becoming an absolutely massive problem, especially in certain areas of the country. For example, it's been reported that squatters have taken over about 1,200 homes in the Atlanta area alone. They are, quote, ruining entire neighborhoods in Atlanta, and trying to get police to evict the squatters is taking so long that some homeowners have taken to paying the nuisances to leave. And others, as the Daily Mail noted, are hiring what they call vigilantes to get them out. Brazen squatters even opened an illegal strip club on a property they had taken over, one of the 1,200 homes that have been squatted on in the city, according to the National Rental Home Council trade group, said Mark Urbanski, who manages a home cleaning company to Bloomberg. I'd be terrified in Atlanta to try to lease out one of my properties. And says Snyder, there's no way in the world I'd want to own a rental property in that city, and I can't help but think, or in any other blue cesspool city. Furthermore, he says, if you can believe it, there's even a company that's been running ads on socialist media platforms offering to find squatters' homes in Atlanta for a fee. Anybody care to place a bet on how long it'll be until that's a new Biden cabinet position? It is, after all, basically what communism is about. And here's what the Instagram account of the wannabe criminal aiders and abettors says. One-time payment homes. The site makes it clear that all of these are intended to be squatter homes, and it spells out just what that means. Quote, the company's owners will come out, so will the police. The police will tell you there's nothing they can do about it. Squatters' rights. And one-time payment homes has actually been running a new New Year's special of late, saying, quote, $1,400 will get you the keys to a squatter home so you can stack money and turn your life around. But that, writes Michael Snyder, is America 2024. And, of course, it isn't just Atlanta where squatting has become such a widespread issue. In the communist state of Washington, squatters have now taken over an entire apartment complex and turned it into a den of crime. Families and people handling the property are beyond frustrated, and the problems are at the Sherwood Park Apartments. Police say the situation has also attracted a whole lot of criminal activity, and now officers regularly patrol the area because of all the problems. Most of the units in the complex are now covered in plywood. It's bad, said Angel, a resident at the apartments. The cops are here 24/7, every day, every night. I keep my kids inside. I don't let them out. And thanks to the absurd laws in that state, writes Michael Snyder, you can bet it isn't going to be easy to get those squatters out. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget the People's Republic of California. Thank you, Gruesom Newsom et al., which also has ridiculous so-called laws. And right now, quote, a very sophisticated criminal ring of squatters is making a ton of money from just one Beverly Hills mansion that they famously occupied. It was seized by the court and then allowed to turn into a wild party house taken over by squatters who are profiting off regular ragers that are driving the neighborhood nuts. The Mediterranean estate at 1316 Beverly Grove, listed for $4.5 million, has been occupied by, quote, a very sophisticated criminal ring of squatters, said the home's listing agent to Los Angeles magazines, and he believes they're earning upwards of $30,000 a month, renting rooms and hosting huge house parties with $100 entry fees. That sort of thing, says Snyder's happening all over the nation, but the worst problems are, guess where, in the blue states with laws that are very favorable to criminal elements wanting to come in and take over. And especially when you realize that there are 10,000 more a day, and they're all criminals by definition, or they wouldn't be invading the country, that are looking for places to live, and finding that lots and lots of these places are, well, right there in their wheelhouse. Every single day, says Snyder, predatory squatters are scanning the online listings in order to identify their next targets. And it's even gotten easier for the squatters to find homes to move into. Because online listings and virtual realtors allow squatters to find vacant addresses and gain access by booking fake appointments. Some innocent folks might not even know that these squatters are also scam artists and can set up fake listings for empty properties and fake lease arrangements. And once a squatter's in, as you can guess, in a communist regime, it's especially hard to get them out. It can take 3 months to get a court hearing for an eviction and another 3 months to get a deputy or marshal to come clear out the home. And in the meanwhile, you can pretty well guess the home is trashed. And it's getting worse every year. Meanwhile, though, it's also getting harder and harder for people trying to do things the right way. And in recent years, thanks to Bidenflation, rental prices have skyrocketed to absolutely insane levels. And the story quotes a single mom, Caitlin Colbert, who watched the rent for her two-bedroom apartment in Denver first double, then triple, and then quadruple over a single decade in Denver, from $750 a month to $3,374 each and every month as of last year. And the worse that housing affordability becomes, concludes this piece, you can guess the more people are going to be tempted to engage in squatting, especially if they've already got a house and the rents are going up dramatically. Why not? After all, that's what communism is all about. Those evil landlords deserve what they get. Everybody else is doing it. So what else? You can pretty well set your watch by it, right? Lawlessness abounds. I can't help but think as I'm looking at this piece that there's another hidden agenda here as well. We've seen very similar things happening in the commercial real estate market. It was destroyed by easy money and pandemic lockdowns that destroyed the retail industry, and then along with it, the desirability of downtown properties for offices and restaurants and the like. The subsequent vicious circle of rampant crime pretty much finished them off. Now they're doing the very same thing to the residential property rental market. And ultimately, again as intended, the end of the American dream of the single-family home to boot. Because who are we kidding? You'd have to be absolutely insane to want to be a landlord in most of these cesspool cities. They're going to come steal your property anyway, and if the almighty state doesn't, the people that they invite in across the non-existent borders will. What does that really mean, folks? Think about it. Once the masses figure out what's being done to the home market, it will collapse, especially in those cesspools. And by the way, concludes this piece, if you need to leave your home vacant for a while, like, say, a long vacation, maybe you might want to reconsider, or at least lock it up very tight, have somebody look it over very carefully, and don't let anybody know you're gone, because there are plenty of squatters that would just love to invade and take over while you're conveniently out of the picture. No wonder that the Daily Mail is probably correctly pointing out, if you want to keep your home, you may end up having to figure out how to protect it, since so-called law enforcement won't. And it'll probably get worse. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.